ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ चितिरूपेण या कृत्स्नम् एतद्व्याप्य स्थिता जगते नमस्तस्यै नमो नमः So the first mantra we saw. It's nice way of doing it, the text also, because you, when you all your time, all time looking into the book and struggling, important words I told you. Six names you know, and then you have said, see, the important three words of the first mantra in revealing the qualifications of the students. Brahma Paraha, Brahma Nishtaha, Brahma Anveshamanaha. These three words reveal all the four qualifications. They are given to the discipline of meditation, they are given to the discipline of living a life of karma yoga, and then Brahma Anveshana para Anveshana Manaha means they who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, such people approach the teacher and they said, this teacher will teach us everything. But how did they, one more thing I have to remember here, the teacher never went in search of the student. The teachers alone, the students alone approached the teacher. Swamiji always mentions, sometimes in Chennai they'll say, we'll send you the car, Swamiji, please come home and clarify our doubts. You know, some people they say, our Swamiji is there, you say, No, you have to come. I am not coming. Asking you, teachers for come for bhiksha is different. Come home for clarifying the doubts is not okay. That's what. Anyway, so they approach the teacher, and teacher's name is Pippalaraha. I said the Upanishad reveals the teachers Bhagavan, Bhagavantam Pippaladam Upasannaha. Bhagavan Pippaladaha means the teacher also is endowed with all forms of wealth, means wisdom makes what now one Bhagavan. What makes a human being the Lord? Every human being is the Lord. When does he become the Lord? Manadhanam Deva Mahalam. When? Bhagavan. When does one become Bhagavan? In wisdom you are Bhagavan. So Pippaladaha as a wise person is given, revered as Bhagavan Pippaladaha. Pippaladaha, name of the teacher. And when they approached a sannyasi, raja, a king, a sadhu, teacher, and somebody who is sick, children, you go to see these people, you should go always, not go empty hand, take something and go, they say. I'm not expecting you to bring something, okay? I'm just telling you what Shastra says. But they are always, they go samit paneha. They take all, samit means the twigs used for performing rituals and also as a fuel. But don't bring any fuel to me, okay? Samit paneha means carrying some bundle of fuel, very useful. Imagine the cold, when you go and see the Badrinath and Kedarnath and it take you, you will see how useful the dry, these samits are. How useful, you will know that. Value of that dry twigs. Very, very useful. So they went, at least easily, no? You don't need to pay any money. Go pick up some and make a bundle and take it. Samit Panayaha. It's also for performing fire rituals and also for using it as fuel. Cooking and all that. Samit Panayaha. They approach the teacher. Okay. Then, the next mantra, this is the first mantra, content is over. Okay? Now you can make it. I am going to read out the mantra when you get the book. But now the contents of the first mantra is over. Content is over. That's all. The second mantra says that Rishi, this Rishihi Pippaladaha. First mantra tells, reveals the teacher as Bhagavan Pippaladaha. The second mantra teaches revered as the Rishihi Pippaladaha. Again, Rishihi also means what? The man of vision is Rishihi. Rishati Janati Iti Rishihi. One who knows the truth. And one who knows the truth means for him the truth is not an object. One who knows the truth is Rishihi. Rishati means knows. K-N-O-W-S. Rishati Janati Iti Rishihi. One who knows the truth is Rishihi. Therefore, the knower, the seer of the truth, the reality, Paramparulai Kandavar, Kangindravar, is called Rishihi. So, does it mean one who sees the truth, knows the truth, the knower of the truth is Rishihi? That does not mean he is the knower and the truth which is different from him. One who knows the truth means for whom the truth is the very self. The knower of the truth is the one for whom the truth is the self. The self, one's own self, which is the self of all the beings. And for whom there is no second thing, second reality other than the truth. He is the Rishihi. That's very important. Knower means immediately we say what? There's a truth sitting other than oneself. No. The knower of the truth is the one for whom the truth is none other than the self. And thereby for whom the self is the self of all the beings. Not one's own self alone. One's own self is the self of all the beings also. Madatma sarva bhutatma. Madatma sarva bhutatma, I said. So, he is the Rishihi. And this Rishi Pippaladaha said to those students, six disciples who approached him, as soon as they went, immediately he did not start teaching, he did not ask them anything. First he said, first you live in my ashram, live in this place in Gurukulam. Samvatsaram samvatsyatha. May you all live here in this ashram for 1 year first, before I start teaching you. They approached the teacher. They didn't say why they have come. The very approaching the teacher itself implies what? That they have come for Brahma Vidya. And the teacher said, fine, welcome. You stay here in this Gurukulam for 1 year. Samvatsaram samvatsyata. This expression of teacher telling his students to stay in the Gurukulam for 1 year actually is for showing us that the teachers always, when the students approach the teacher, the teachers give them some tests. Whether they fail the test or pass the test before they given the teaching. What sort of a test they give? So they'll ask them, no, stay here, do this work, do that work, you know, and then all those things they give. And also to learn to become disciplined also, more disciplined. They have to get accustomed to the lifestyle to be strictly followed in the Gurukulam, in the campus. Therefore, 1 year, samvatsaram samvatsyata. Then, but how should you live? That he says, 1 year, may you live in this Gurukulam for 1 year, but how should you live? That's the, again, three important words you have to learn from the second mantra. Tapasa, tapas, brahmacharyam, shraddha. The three important words you have to learn from the second mantra is tapas, brahmacharyam, shraddha. I really like the way I am teaching now. You know why? Why should you simply break your heads? important you have to learn. Tapas, brahmacharyam, shraddha. So when shraddha, when you live in this Gurukulam for 1 year, so he says, how should you tapasa, tapas, following tapas. The tapas means austerity, penance, they say. But not the say austerity, penance means living in one, living by one leg and all that. Here, tapas here means strictly following the disciplines to be followed in a Gurukulam. Which means, whether I like the food or not, I'm not asking to eat unhealthy food, oily food and all like that. The Gurukulam offers unhealthy food, you don't need to eat really. But I'm talking about those days. There, suppose eating the food, enjoying or getting, you know, used to the developing habit to eat whatever food is available there. I may not like it, the taste of it, but I eat that. I may not like to, you know, so living the completely changing one's lifestyle. That is suitable for the ashram life. That is tapas. The food, the clothing, the shelter, whatever, you know, simple accommodation is given, I get used to it. The simple clothing I need to wear, I wear. The food I eat, simple food. And then I may be sleeping for longer, long hours at home. Gurukulam, I get up early. Early to rise, early to bed, isn't it? I go to bed early, I sleep enough, and then also I keep myself fit and active, energetic. So this is tapas. Tapas means changing one's lifestyle to be followed in a Gurukulam. Like, is it completely living a disciplined life, following disciplines in speech, in sleep, in food, in lifestyle. That is tapas. Then brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam means totally committed to the study. So not allowing the mind to be mind. Okay? Taking care of the mind. Not allowing the mind to be distracted. Any disturbed to be. To be disturbed by any sensual, you know, pleasures. See, enjoyment of sensory pleasures is not wrong. But when you come to the Gurukulam as a student of Shastram, and Shastram study needs the total attention. So, taking care of the attention of the mind, seeing that mind is not disturbed by, you know, other enjoyment of other pleasures. Thereby living one's life accordingly. Not to be disturbed means what? See that you take care of that. Avoiding anything which will disturb you. Very important. That is why no photographs, unnecessary photographs in the phones and computers. You know, sometimes now when you come to the Gurukulam, at least, of course, where will they go? They won't go anywhere. They'll all be there. All you are carrying them in the mind. And you have to work very hard to forget people in the mind. Not only people, the pets also. Sometimes one American lady came. All the time she used to think of the dog. My God, look at this Swaminiji. My dog. I miss her. I don't know what she ate. I know it's very nice to be compassionate, kind, and looking after dog and feeling for the dog and being kind to the all animals. Very nice. Come into Shastra study. It's what do you say? If I say, they'll think Swamiji is so rude and rough, and she just wasn't wanted to have this. No, she putting the, you know, dog, and the kissing the dog a photo. No, I miss my dog. What idiotic, isn't it? You want something, a more sublime thing you're aiming at, and you're sitting with the petty things, isn't it? It's all entanglement. That's why freeing one's mind. So trying all possible efforts. I'm not saying it's wrong to have. It's very natural for us to think of my daughter's picture, my son's picture, or my, you know, natural. Of course, we don't need to forget them. I tell you, we can never forget our children. You never forget the life companion, of, in the sense, the husband or wife, properly married wife or husband, you can never forget, should not forget also. Doesn't mean having respect for them, concern for them is different from being entangled with them. That's why already you have grown. That's why never ever get entangled, anybody, Shastra says. Very difficult. See, the whole household life, grihasthashrama life itself is prescribed for you to get entangled. Even if you are not entangled, you don't know what, you will not know what is entanglement until you get married. My mother used to tell me, you are not married, so you don't know what it is. But even without that also, I am entangled. Without marrying also, I have great affection for even my nieces and nephews and my cousins. I really, not like children who know me. I don't, without my knowledge, I say, of David, I'm so much, I can think of him. Oh, how he's doing and all that. It's very natural. As a woman also, people who come to me, I get really, how much always tells this. People who come to, even if you're not married, and your affection will turn for others, people, care for other people. In a way, it's good. Nothing wrong in it, but still entanglement, very natural. So the whole grihasthashrama life is created. The family household life itself is what? For you to experience, to know what is really emotional bond, entanglement. And then coming out of it. So get entangled, then get over it. That's why vanaprastha and sannyasa totally. Therefore, it's very natural. You have to be very careful. And that's why we always say, when your children, when you raise children also, the more and more and more care and affection, love you give, the more they will be emotionally hooked to you, so they won't get entangled anywhere else outside. They'll be protected. If we don't give enough care and affection, love, and that is when the children, now they get entangled anywhere else. The hook must be, emotional hook must be with you, parents. They say that. So it's very natural for any human mind. It's a natural thing for human mind to get entangled anywhere. It will go and get stuck anywhere, it will get stuck. So be careful. See that mind is protected very well, safely brought, kept only exclusively for Bhagavan. All sneha, snigdha, no? Only with, keep the mind with it, get entangled anywhere, so that you can keep it exclusively for Bhagavan. It's your own truth and knowledge. That's the teaching, main teaching. Therefore, brahmacharyam implies after the class. Brahmacharyam, because my flow will go the way. So brahmacharyam here implies maintaining the taking care of one's mind from not getting emotionally entangled anywhere, but repeatedly reminding oneself of the value of the knowledge and one's commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. That is why even this color also is for that only. See, so brahmacharyam is not, do not become a sannyasi for that. As a student of shastram, even as a student of the study, I mean in the school or college also, any student is called brahmachari. That is why it is always said in Smriti also, students should not join politics. Students should not join politics. It is not your business. Attention must be focused only in studies, because that's the way you become disciplined. This is brahmacharya. So, and also maintaining proper relationship with the opposite sex or one's own sex, nowadays I had to include that. Okay. Then Shraddha. Having proper attitude. Okay, that's it. Now Shraddha is unflinching faith, the words of the Shastram and the teacher. Shraddha. It means reverence. Shraddha. So tapas, brahmacharyam and shraddha are the three important words we had to remember. So following these threefold factors in terms of tapas, you know, the living a lifestyle enjoy to be followed in a gurukulam, and brahmacharyam, again, you know, taking care of one's attention, being not disturbed by anything else other than the studies, then shraddha, the faith and commitment to the shastram and the words of the commitment to teach and the shastram. With this, following these threefold factors, until tapas, brahmacharyam and shraddha, may you all live in this gurukulam for 1 year, so that you will pass your tests. Then he says, then yatha kamam prashnan pachyata, then you can ask me all any questions you have, then we will clarify all your doubts. He says, the teacher says, this is the content of the second mantra. So the second mantra, the first mantra, the students approached the teacher, and the important three things were the qualifications of the students, we understood. Then the second mantra, the teacher tells them, in the second mantra, the teacher tells the students, may you all live in the gurukulam following these three factors in terms of shraddha, brahmacharyam and also tapas. I explained what is tapas, how brahmacharyam should be understood and what is shraddha. Isn't it? Then he said, then you can ask me any question you have and I will answer your questions. I'll clarify your doubts. The second mantra is over. Then the third mantra comes. In the third mantra presents the first question of the student, called Kabandhi. The sixth name I said, Kabandhi is the student. The name of the student, one of the six disciples, is Kabandhi. And he is also called Katyayanaha. Now slowly introduce the names. One student, no? Kabandhi is the student, disciple's name, and who is also known as Katyayanaha, because his father is Katya, something. Katyayanaha Kabandhi. It's a surname like, isn't it? And he first asked the question, first question. He is asking simple question. The question is, Bhagavan, kutaha va imaha prajaha prajayanta. O Lord, Bhagavan, O Lord, from where all these innumerable countless living creatures and beings which are around, where have they come from? Where do they originate from? Where are they born from? Where do they originate from? Where are they born from? Where have they come from? Same question. One question I'm putting three times I'm saying, okay? The one question is, kutaha imaha prajaha prajayante. Hey Bhagavan, you can write the question if you want. Hey Bhagavan, O Lord, imaha prajaha, you can say after me, imaha prajaha, kutaha prajayante. Simple, I've put in post form, okay? Hey Bhagavan, say now. Hey Bhagavan, you understand Sanskrit, very simple. Hey Bhagavan, O Lord, imaha prajaha, imaha prajaha, kutaha prajayante. Understood Sanskritam? Kutaha prajayante. Simple question, isn't it? Imaha prajaha kutaha prajayante. All these beings, imaha prajaha, the word praja is a feminine gender word. Therefore, prajaha, all these living beings, the creatures, all these beings around, kutaha, from where, yengirindu, prajayante, ellinda barute, bandidare, prajayante, where are they born from? Where do they originate from? Which means, what is the question here? Prajayante engirundu thondrugindrana. What is the cause of all these beings? What is the cause? Something cannot be here. Whatever is must have its cause. Where have they come from? That's the question. Which means, the very question is what now shows? He is a Sishya. Question tells you Sishya. When he'll become the teacher, he'll say what? He won't say you. The question will not be there. Suppose nothing has come, if he already knows, will he ask where has it come from? Isn't it? This is the simple question all of us have. Not all of us. Generally any human being asks, what is the source of this origin? What is the origin of this creation, universe? The very question is what now comes only in Ajnana, isn't it? In Jnanam, the question will resolve. Why? In knowledge, you will say what? The question will not rise. You would have understood there is no creation at all. Okay. The question is, now we can say, the question is about what now? Aparam Brahma. Aparam Brahma means what? Sagunam Brahma. Whenever you talk about the creation, it implies a lot of things. So now he is going to tell, the Srishti Prakriya is going to come. The next mantra, fourth to the, in the fourth mantra onwards, the teacher's answer is going to come. So this is the simple, the question comes, suppose the teacher has to give an answer now. Suppose imagine if the teacher says, you're asking me where have all these living creatures come from? They have not come. Imagine if the teacher tells first answer as soon as he starts telling, no, there's no creation. Where is the creation? There's no Jagat. Where is the Jagat? I don't see any Jagat. People are not, nothing has come here. All these creatures have not originated from anywhere. There are only appearances of the only truth. All these waves have not originated from the water. There are appearances of the water only. They have never originated. They are already there. If the teacher gives this answer as a wise person, what would have happened? The student would have run away from the teacher. And the teacher has to keep his wisdom with himself. Useless wisdom it would have been. Isn't it? Because it would have driven away the student, disciple. But the teacher is very intelligent. Wise person means, this also wisdom means not simply, oh, there's no Jagat at all. He doesn't say that. He accepts the student's perception. You see, denying one's perception will cause pain. Understand? If I deny your perception, you have all the right to have your perception. There is a reason for you to have that perception. From your standpoint, you have your own perception. If I deny your perception, it will really hurt you. It will cause pain to you. So the teacher has to be accommodative, tolerant, patient. I'm telling all, okay, what all I should follow? I'm reminding myself. I'm not telling you to bore you with. I said I should have all the, as a teacher, really one has to have, not a teacher, as a mother also. Very important. The patience, tolerance, the endurance, the capacity to put up with any nonsense. Any mother also should have, father also should have. Not any nonsense, you have to accommodate, no other way. That is what means you are loving. Okay? If you don't put up, then you are very not loving. They'll say that. So the teacher is like a mother also, father also. So as a parent, you play the role of a parent also, you have to have all those things. So accommodate the person with the person's perception without denying. Then help the person, give the different perspective from a different standpoint. Accommodate, then accept, then the student also accepts the teacher. Then the friendly atmosphere comes. Then learning can take place. For the teacher to give his, to transfer his perspective, vision to the student's head, definitely the teacher must have what? You know, to transfer, the teaching should take place. For the teaching to take place, there must be friendly atmosphere. For the friendly atmosphere to be there, there must be trust. The student should have trust in the teacher should accommodate also. So that is what so much is implied here. You don't need to go and study psychology anywhere else, okay? The Shastram teaches enough of how to. Sometimes we don't have patience, no? Immediately we react. Sometimes there's a problem with us. You expect the children to be be the way you want them to be. They won't be. That's where we go wrong. We become really, they feel irritated and then they want to get rid of us. So if you want to have anybody with you, accept other person's perception. Don't deny. If even it's disagreeable, it's not agreeable for you. The due respect to the person, with your disagreement with the other person's view also, no, accept. So that you can maintain relationship, friendship. A simple thing. So here, very important, any relationship must be, you know, there must be friction-free, lubricated, well-lubricated relationship. Only then there will be friendly atmosphere, then learning can take place, the teaching can take place, and learning can take place. Therefore, the teacher, with all his wisdom, as a Bhagavan Pippaladaha, you know, Rishi Pippaladaha, one who cannot, who does not see a second thing other than Brahma, such a Maharshi, he says what? Okay, he gives his answer. First he gives the answer, Tasmai Saha Uvacha. He says, Praja Kamaha Prajapatihi. Here, the teaching begins. The teacher gives the answer. All the beings here were created by, have been created by Brahma, Prajapatihi. He uses the word Prajapatihi. Prajapatihi is Brahma, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, Brahmaji, Prajapatihi, all the words are synonyms. What is this? Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam. The consciousness manifests, isn't it? As the subtle universe. Samashti Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam is Hiranyagarbha. The total subtle manifestation is what? Hiranyagarbha. If from the subtle manifestation alone, all this gross, the entire gross manifestation emerged, originated. The gross universe has emerged from the subtle universe. Sukshma Sharira Upahitam Chaitanyam means subtle, the entire total subtle manifestation, subtle universe is called what? Ishvara. What is the name then? Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, Prajapatihi, Brahmaji are synonyms. So here the teacher says, all these beings were created by Brahmaji. Were created means what? They all have come from Brahma. Which here the Srishti does not, like in other Upanishads, how do they say? In other Upanishads, how was the Srishti, the creation discussed? In every Upanishad, the Srishti is presented differently. The topic of discreation is different, differs from Upanishad to Upanishad. Suppose generally what they say, from Brahma, the elements came, subtle elements came. Then there is the grossification of elements. Then from the gross elements, we know all the beings came. The plants came. All the living beings came. Like that, the creation is, you should always start from what? Elements. Brahma, elements, elementals. Like that, the creation is discussed. But here, straight away, without talking about Ishvara. What is Ishvara? Karana Prapancha. Maya plus Chaitanyam is what? Karana Prapancha Upahitam Chaitanyam. Karana Prapancha, the causal universe. Isn't it? The consciousness of causal universe is what? Is a Ishvara. From there it will start, everywhere. But here, instead of starting from Maya Sahitam Brahma, Maya Upahita Chaitanyam Ishvaraha. Maya means what? Causal universe, isn't it? Instead of talking about the Maya's Upahitam Chaitanyam, the Ishvara, straight away he talks in this here, talks about the subtle manifestation. First Brahmaji was there, and Brahmaji was already there. In Mundaka Upanishad, you come across this mantra, first mantra comes. Brahma Devanam Prathamasam Babhuva. That comes. Now first Brahma came into, Hiranyagarbha came into existence. And then from Brahma came what? Originated all these beings. And Brahma created all these living beings. He simply give the example. Simply give you the answer like this. And how he is going to develop it, we will see that. Slowly. Don't take it very seriously, the creation. I told you many times, I'm telling you again also. Then, see, when we say Brahma created all these beings, all these living beings, Brahma created all these living beings, what means all devas onwards, the celestial beings onwards, all these creatures here, the elements, the elementals, all these living beings onto this, you know, this all these small, tiny, multicellular, usual organisms like amoeba, paramecium, until then, all the living creatures, all of them have come into existence from Brahma only. Brahma only created them. He says that. But when he says, when he talks about it, what he says? Brahma did not suddenly create it. Tapaha atapyata. Brahmaji visualized. No. Here what is visualization? Actually, jnanamayam tapaha. What is tapas? Brahma visualized means what? Brahma visualized means only, it implies only manifestation only. Visualization, why visualization is important here? Because creation of every being here, every creature here exists what in an order. Not, no being is here outside of the order. Everything here, that's why every life is as significant as your life, my life, because no being is here simply just like that. Every individual being is here within the realm of an order only, which means the creation involves a lot of visualization. Implies what? Every creature is given appropriate body, appropriate place of time, the birth of time, appropriate place of birth, time of birth, place of birth, day of birth, parentage, body also, dog's body or buffalo's body, which body should be given for which jiva, all these were in keeping with the karma. In keeping with the karma, all the bodies are to be created, isn't it? Therefore, Brahma visualized and created all these beings according to their own karma. So whoever has got whichever body, whichever nose, whichever parents, whichever place, whichever, wherever you are living also, everything is well, beautifully, what now, within the realm of a proper structure, order. There is no disorder at all here. Even this light, this understanding of the simplest fact will make you accept the life that you are ordained with. Why I was born that village? Why I was born to these parents? Why only these many cows were there with me in our house all the time? How I meet this so-and-so and such a person sometimes suddenly in the middle age? How these things happen? How association, relationship, separations? I tell you, every relationship, every association is for us to go through separation. And separation is pain. That's why everything is what now? Very well predetermined in keeping with one's own karma. That is why Brahmaji visualized before he created, then he created all these beings. It's an expression which means that all these beings which are here are what now? Really within the realm of an order. That's why every life is very significant life. Satahaha tapaha atapyata. Brahmaji visualized, then tapaha taptva, then he says, having visualized, he created all these beings. How did he create these beings? He says, the creation is presented in 5 stages. Little complicated creation here. Don't worry, just I'll tell you like a story, listen to me, understand, and I'll make you read the text mantras. Okay? In 5 stages, the creation is presented here. He says, first is, Mithunam Utpadayate. Mithunam. First he visualized very well, first he created a pair. Mithunam. Mithunam, Mithunam means a pair. Two. I tell you, what is a pear here? It is not a pear fruit. Okay. P-A-I-R, pear. A two. A set of two. Mithunam. Mithunam. I tell you what is. Oh, sorry. See, any two things which are mutually complementary, any a set of two things mutually complementary, a set of two things is called Mithunam. Any one thing which makes the with the other which makes it complete is called Mithunam. Okay? Mithunam, a pair, means a set of two mutually complementary things. It's called Mithunam. See, without a woman, man will be incomplete. Without a man, woman will be incomplete. Without day, night will be, right, does not make the whole. For anything to become the whole and complete, there must be two. Day and night are mutually complementary pair. Anything, any two things which forms the mutually complementary, you know, pair is called what? Mithunam. You have to understand correctly. So, we're going to see, understand very well. Mithunam utpa, first he said, Mithuna srishtihi. Okay, Mithuna srishti first. Then, he gives the name also. Let me tell you first, what are the five stages in creation here. Mithuna srishti, then loka srishti. He created this mutually complementary pair, then loka srishti, then third is kala srishti, creation of worlds, creation of time, kala srishti. Fourth is anna srishti, food. Then fifth is praja srishti. So we are running all these five different stages, finally going to negate all of them. Finally, you are going to say, there is no creation. Nice to know, isn't it? So, Mithuna Srishti, Loka Srishti, Kala Srishti, Anna Srishti, Praja Srishti. Creation of all the 5. Praja means beings. Kalaha, time. Lokaha, worlds. Creation of food, creation of beings. Before beings, Radhniji, don't tease me. Before creation, beings, the food has to come there. What will you eat? Before you, no, before the baby is born, keep milk, everything ready. You be, no? You should be well equipped with enough money to be able to look after children. Isn't it? So here, Praja Srishti, before that Anna Srishti. And before that Loka Srishti. And before that Kala Srishti. Before that Mithuna Srishti. Mithuna Srishti implies everything. Mithuna means not just the female male alone. Mithunam here implies any two, a set of two things which are mutually complementary. Without which one will be incomplete. Which makes the whole. Isn't it? Very refined. And first, we'll just understand the Mithunam first, okay? So now the teacher tells, when the student asks the question, he asks only one sentence question, okay? The answer is going to be elaborate answer. Thank God he left Ishvara. From there, he didn't start. And if you take any Bhagavat Puranam, that's why in Bhagavat Puranam, Ashriman Narayanam, we take, there's a big story is given. Mahavishnu was there, and from his navel came the lotus. In that lotus, Brahmaji was born, and he did not know what to do. He turned his heads all the time. My God, I don't know what to do. He was like a dad. And oh my God, Bhagavan did not want his son, Brahmaji Putra, to be a Makku. So he wanted him to be very intelligent. He gave him a lot of knowledge. Then he gave him all, he taught him Shastras and Vedas and everything. And he also taught him the know-how of creation, how to create beings, etc. Then he gave a job. Bhagavan taught him how to create. Then gave Brahmaji what? Mahavishnu gave all the knowledge. Then he started creating. He was creating. Like that, the story goes like that. A Srishti Prakriya, he go to all Puranas. Puranas will talk and talk. Only then, my God, with Vedanta study, if you go to Puranas, Purana will be really cock and bull story. Otherwise, you won't understand the significance of it. Who is interested in all these things? And then the worst Bhagavan create all these things, na? We will think all. Really speaking, you develop reverence for everything here. You understand the order involved in every being. Every insect, a tiny little ant also, is there within the realm of the order. It has all the right to be around and to enter into our ears also. Nose our ears also. And if our prarabdha is there, we'll be disturbed by that also. Anyway, that is why live, let live. So that no problem. Amazing, isn't it? That's why there's nowhere like Upanishads. Bhagavan has an order is that. Puja Swamiji, it is Puja Swamiji. I had to tell you this. Puja Swamiji alone, when teaching Vedanta, he really connected. So Bhagavan has an order. Ishvara has an order. The Lord has an universal natural order. Nobody made it very clear like Puja Swamiji. To my knowledge. Nobody made it very clear. Anyway, so here, this Mithunam Utpadayate, and first he gives the name for this Mithuna. Okay, Raihi and Prana. Important words you have to learn from this fourth mantra is what? Raihi and Prana. Just the names. What are the important words you have to learn from this fourth mantra? Mithunam. Mithuna Srishtihi. Mithuna Srishtihi. See, Brahmaji visualized and he created the beings. And first he created Mithunam. I told you what is Mithunam already. Then the Mithunam, a pair, isn't it? And what are the two names are given for that pair? Each one has a name. Raihi. Ra-i-rai. R-A-Y-I. Visarga. Raihi. Then Pranaha. Raihi and Pranaha. So Brahma visualized and carefully created this Rayihi and Pranaha. Then he said, what? This pair, Rayihi and Pranaha, we are not translating Rayihi and Pranaha. No translation. Okay? Except Rayihi and Pranaha are the names given to this pair. Okay? This Rayi and Prana, they will create all other beings. Brahma said, first he created, and he said, they will create all other beings. Rayi and Prana will create all other beings. In fact, we always say, Bhagavan Sankalpa Matrena Sarvam Sujati. Just by Sankalpa, Bhagavan creates everything. There is no time. Time will not be taken. How? When we can create our dream worlds. What do we need to create your dream world? They say Bhagavan by Sankalpa can create the whole Jagat. But still, it is for the sake of the study, it is presented here. Brahmaji was there, and Brahmaji, just take it as that. Brahmaji created Mithunam first, the pair. He gave the name as for Rayihi and Pranaha. Then he said, this Rayi and Prana will create all, multiply like amoeba. Okay? Just by dividing, even Purana it said also, Brahmaji became two, and he created, multiplied into many. So here also what we say, Mithunam he created, and this Mithunam will multiply, will contribute for the creation of the whole, all the beings here. This is what is said in the fourth mantra. This much is said. Now, important thing is, what does the Upanishad mean by saying this Mithunam? You can say Mithunam actually is a concept. Two distinct, different things which are mutually complementary. Two different, completely different, distinct. Like a day is completely different from the night. Like a perceiver, experiencer is different from the experienced. Two different things. Experiencer is different, experienced is different. Knower is different, known is different. Day is different, night is different. Light is different, darkness is different. Two completely different, distinct things which are mutually complementary are called what? Come under category of the word Mithunam. Mithunam is a pair. Now understand why I want these sessions started today? I want to fit all the stories today. That's why I wanted more time to complete it. You got important words now? Mithunam. You go know what are five stages. This is the creation, five stages you understood. And the first stage is discussed in the fourth mantra. Then I want to tell you this. So, when you hear also, see, there cannot be something called night without the day. You cannot understand, isn't it? There's a concept. There cannot be something called day without the night. There cannot be something called darkness without the light. If there's no light at all, what does the darkness mean? Isn't it? Always, so they're complementary. Only when there is experience alone, something called experienced can be. Without experiencer, there cannot be something called experienced. And without the object, there cannot be something called subject. There's no object at all. How can you call somebody as the knower? knower of what? The meaningless. Therefore, they're all mutually complementary. So mithunam is to be, should be understood as a concept, which means a set, a pair consider two things which are mutually complementary, two factors, two things. It can be male person, female person, or concepts, the things. Understand now? So all come under the category of mithunam only. Anything which are mutually complementary. Any set of two things. Opposites, also anything. Yeah. Collectively also things. That is, we have to understand. Then, and he gives now the names. Now, first he says, sun and the moon. Creation of the sun and the moon. The next mantra, straight away he goes to what now? Mithuna Srishti now is, in the fifth mantra, he discusses the creation of the sun and the moon. And he gives a name also. The sun is the pranaha, moon is the raihi. The raihi is the moon, you can say, prana is the sun. Take the first now, you take that mithunam, for understand sun and the moon. He's going to talk about everything. Adityaha, he uses the terms Adityaha, Suryaha is Adityaha. The important words in the fifth mantra are Adityaha is Pranaha. Then Raihi, Chandramaha Raihi. Chandramaha Adityaha, two words. Adityaha, sun, Chandramaha, moon. Of these two, what is Raihi, what is Pranaha? Adityaha is Pranaha, Chandramaha Raihi. Why they are important here? They both actually, see, who is the presiding deity of the day? Sun. Who is the presiding deity of the night time? You know, Chandramaha is not every day, but still you can say moon. Say moon. So being the presiding deity of these two, the day and night, sun and moon are looked upon here as the mutually complementary, the beings here, the pair. And not only that, the sun and moon. One more thing, we are going to understand later on. He is going to talk about the loka srishti also, the worlds and all. And there he talks about swargaloka and the brahmaloka. He is going to talk about swargaloka. Oh, let me stop here now. And he already showed me the watch. Yeah, 9 o'clock tea. Let me stop here. So here, let us remember that fourth mantra we finished. Okay? We'll start from the fifth mantra again.